Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. Hebrews 10 verse 35, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Let's again look to God in prayer for his help. Father in heaven, as we consider this passage before us this morning, we acknowledge before thee our weakness and our inability to do anything in and of ourselves. Father, we are totally cast upon thee. We lift up our hearts to you, Father, and ask that you would indeed lead us by your Spirit as only you are able. We pray that you would remind us of thoughts that we have acquired while in your presence. We pray that your Spirit would move mightily upon our hearts, convict of sin if necessary, exhort, help us to encourage one another. We pray that you would motivate us to do great things for you as a result of being here today. We thank thee for that one of whom Scripture says is the author and finisher of our faith, our Lord Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Father, we pray that all that is said and done here this morning would be done for your honor and your glory. In his name we pray. Amen. Somebody has put the context of the book of Hebrews like this. Not everybody that was confronted with the lions or with martyrdom or at the spear, not everyone that was put into a position of denying the Lord Jesus or freely confessing Jesus as Lord, not every one of those people freely confessed, "Yes, Jesus is my Lord." Some failed. Some didn't have the courage, the strength. Some, their faith was weak. And when confronted with death, no. They didn't die as martyrs. They were released. And they went back to their various gatherings in shame and disgrace and in weakness. And they were looking for answers. "I failed. I failed my Lord who died for me. Is there any hope for me now?" And the writer of the Hebrews goes through this whole book and encourages them and exhorts them and warns them. One of the contemporary Christian artists has a song that goes like this: "What if I stumble? What if I fall? What if I lose my step and I make fools of us all? Will your love continue when the walk becomes a crawl? God, will your love continue when the walk becomes a crawl? What if I stumble? What if I fall? And then the writer of the Hebrew comes to this portion on faith. And recently, I would say by recently, I mean within the past several months, even a few years now, I've begun to take a look at my life and at the situation around me, and you start to question things. And when you see things take place in your life that don't square with what the Word of God says, you start to question, wait a minute, what's wrong here? Why the great discrepancy between what is here and what is here? What's the problem? Recently on the way home from work, I began to think upon these lines, and I was thinking of these fellows here in Hebrews that the writer of the Hebrews just points out, boom, 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 boom. These are men of faith, men of faith, men of faith, men of faith. Woman of faith, woman of faith. And then you start to ask yourself, wait a minute, would I qualify as a person of faith? The just shall live by faith. That's how a just person lives. Somebody who has been justified by God, someone who has been declared righteous by God, that's how they live, by faith. And this is a very difficult concept to grasp in this society. Everything we do is by sight. If we can't touch it, feel it, taste it, hear it, smell it, we have a difficult time believing it. But God says the just will live by faith. So when you take a look at your life, and you know you've been declared to be just by God, and you know you've been redeemed, you know you belong to the Savior, when you take a look at the flip side of the coin, can you characterize your life as a life of faith? If not, why not? What's wrong? Because the two are mutually exclusive. The just do not live by sight. The just live by faith. The just will live by faith. Let's take a look. Hebrews 11:1. The Amplified Bible puts it this way. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of the reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Faith, though it operates in our lives and we are confined by time and space, is totally apart from the senses. The just will live by faith. And here we have two different time frames, for lack of a better word. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, as future. The evidence of things not seen, that's present. What had happened to these people? They had stumbled, they had fallen, they had failed. He said, wait a minute, get your faith working again. Get this thing working again, get it moving again, because it works in the present and it works in the future. Faith. The assurance. The assurance of the things we do not see, and the conviction or the proof of the reality. Faith has to do with the unseen. Would you characterize your life as a life that is governed by the unseen? Your life, the life that you live, Sunday to Sunday, is it characterized by faith? Is it governed by the unseen? Because you know, if it doesn't do any good on Monday, don't preach it on Sunday. And if faith don't work on Monday, don't speak about it Sunday morning, Sunday night. Lord knows there's enough theory going on around out there. We need the reality that's going to work where the rubber meets the road out there. And where daily life, in the grind of daily life, are we governed by the unseen? By faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. I'm not big in science. Creation versus evolution. Guess what? This says it's by faith. It's by faith. Why? Because the things that are seen were not made by things that appear. There's an element of the unseen that must be accepted by faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. What did Abel offer? A better sacrifice. Where did all of this begin in your life? What did you have to give to God? What was the sacrifice that you offered up to God? The psalmist in Psalm 51, in that great psalm of repentance, said the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Broken spirit? When I come to God and I want to be accepted by God, a broken spirit, what is this all about? Your spirit ever been broken because of your sin and what that sin does to God? Not only before you were a believer, but after you were a believer, what's your reaction to sin? Is there any anguish? Any sorrow? Any tears? The Bible says that godly sorrow works repentance. What is your reaction as a believer to sin? I mean, sin within you, in your daily life. Sin that happens. Some by accident, some by choice. Is there that brokenness of spirit like there was with King David? Is there that mourning over sin? That sorrow over the fact that you've offended God? A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Where did you start? Where did you begin? Where was it that you had a beginning, that you were brought into the family of God? It was through faith that started with brokenness over your sin, was it not? Knowing that you had offended a righteous God and you had transgressed the commandments. You had trespassed the commandments. You missed the mark. You couldn't keep the law of God. And the wrath of God was abiding on you. The condemnation of God was over you. And you realized that you were bankrupt before God. And you had to come to Him. It was by grace you are saved. Through what? Through faith. Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's through faith. Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, Paul said when he wrote to Timothy. Through faith. That's how you began. That's how you continue to live a life that is to be pleasing to God. When you first came to God, what was your faith in? There's nothing you could see. Faith in a God that you couldn't see. Talking about this thing called sin that you couldn't really see. You could see the effects of it. You couldn't really see it. Judgment that you were told was coming and you didn't see. A place called hell that you can't see. Not yet. Told to have faith in Jesus, a man that you had never seen, who died on a cross that you had never seen, shed his blood that you had never seen, to be justified, something you had never seen, by God, again, that you could never see,
to go to heaven, a place you had never seen. And all this was done by the Holy Spirit. By definition, you can't see a spirit. Yes, you started by faith. Faith in the unseen. Faith in an unseen God that you could only see the effects of. You could only see the working of Him. Faith operates in the realm of the unseen. That's why it's called faith. Now, do you see the results of it? Of course you do. You can't see the spirit, but you can see, it's like the wind, you can see where it's blowing. You can see the effects of it. Faith. What did Abel do? Abel lived by faith. And he obtained this testimony that he was righteous. You have that testimony? Is that a result of your faith? Your daily faith? Does God see you as righteous? God saw Abel as righteous. Matthew 23, Jesus himself said, Abel, that righteous Abel. The Apostle John, writing in his letter in 1 John, called Abel righteous. What kind of a testimony do you have before the believers? Before the unbelievers? And even more important, before God. Is it a testimony that you are righteous? Romans 3 tells us that the righteousness comes through faith in Jesus Christ. It's for all who believe. Because in and of ourselves, Paul, when he writes to the Romans, says there's none righteous. No, not one. In and of ourselves, it comes by faith in Jesus Christ. Do you have that? And if you had it as a starting point, do you have it as a continuing action? A continuing faith. A real, vibrant, living, daily faith. Scripture speaks of both. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated, where he was caught up, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had caught him up, or God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe two things. Must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How are we measuring up? Do we have this testimony? Pleased God. Let's forget about everybody else for now. And just focus the attention on yourself. Do you, between you and God, have that witness within yourself, have that testimony before God that you please God? That's the driving force in your life. That's the motivating factor in your life. That's the primary goal in your life. And you have that testimony. God knows you. Like he knew Enoch. Can you imagine? God and Enoch? And God says, Enoch, you please me. You just, one day Enoch went for a walk, and he just walked, and God just took him. He just walked right up with God. He pleased God. That's not going to happen to somebody that does not please God. Enoch pleased God. God took him. God caught him away. He had this testimony. He pleased God. Between you and God, you sitting in the presence of God and viewing the glory of God in the presence of God, do you have that testimony? That, and you can honestly say before God, God, I please you. Would God in response look at you in His presence and say, yes, you please me? live in the midst of a culture that is out to please one person. Me, me, me. Scripture says the just will live by faith. A faith person is one who pleases God. How about you? Enoch had this testimony. He pleased God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Again, would your life be characterized as a life of faith? Are you motivated by a God that you cannot see with your eyes, your physical eyes? You can only see by faith. Is your motivation to please Him who loved you and gave Himself for you, the Lord Jesus? Without faith, it's impossible. It will not happen. See why Scripture says time and time again, the just will live by faith. Without that, it's impossible to please God. I pose this question. Do you want to stand before God knowing that your life was one that you lived and did not please God? Without faith, it's impossible. Two things that you must believe. Whoever comes to God must believe these two things. Number one, that He is. And number two, that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You cannot come to a person that you don't believe exists. You must believe that He is. The God of the Scriptures. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Has God rewarded you? What's the flip side? He's not going to reward those who don't diligently seek Him. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. My thoughts, my motivation, my actions, everything. Is it consumed with seeking God? And is it just the seeking, or is it that diligent seeking after Him? When my mind goes into disengage and it's not occupied with some other task at work, what does it default to? Does it default to things of the Spirit? Thoughts of God, of Christ, of His Spirit? Seeking Him, looking for Him? Or does it wander aimlessly down the paths of life? Going every which way it can go. Diligently seek Him. That is who God is a rewarder of. So when you look at your life, do you see it on a daily basis as diligent seeking after God? That's what faith is. And remember, the just will live by faith. What about Noah? By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Another man of faith. God came right to Noah and said, "Yo, Noah, I got a warning for you. This whole world's going to be flooded with water. Everyone's going to die. Build an ark." Lord, never happened before. Very good, Noah. Have we been warned of God? warned by God of things not seen as yet? And have we made the necessary preparations? Things not seen. We've never seen the earth destroyed by fire, have we? It's going to happen. We've never seen a third of the earth, a fourth of the earth destroyed. A third of the population killed. A fourth of the population killed. So many ships in the sea destroyed. So much of this happened. So much of that happened. That's never happened before. God warned Noah. God warns us. Noah took the warning seriously. How many were saved? 8 out of the entire population of the world? How many will be saved when those fireballs begin to fall from heaven? If you take that literally. Are your neighbors going to be in that cataclysmic event? Are my co-workers going to be in that catastrophe that takes place when the whole foundation of the earth begins to shake? The just will live by faith. Noah was warned, and Noah took action. God has warned us. When you see the unsaved every day, what do you see? You see your neighbors, your co-workers, those you hang out with all the time. What do you see? Bodies or souls? You see the temporal? Do you see the eternal? Do you see them one day standing before God in their sin? The just will live by faith. The just are governed by the unseen world, by a kingdom that you cannot see, by a God you cannot see, by a Jesus that they cannot see except through your actions. Are your actions such that you please God? Are your actions such that you're righteous? Are your actions such that you make preparations on an eternal level? Not just for yourself, but Noah made preparations for others. What does Scripture tell us? That Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah was a man of faith. The just will live by faith. Noah moved with fear. He moved circumspectly. It affected every single area of his life. Every area was consumed by his service to God concerning the warning that he had received of the judgment that was to come and the tremendous destruction that would take place. And he was a preacher of righteousness. But it affected his every waking hour, his every conscious moment. He moved with fear. What is it that consumes our thoughts in our every waking moment? Do we carry this faith with us everywhere we go? Every place. Not a place that we don't go to, we don't take our faith. Monday, don't preach it Sunday. God says this stuff works Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, through Sunday again. Why? Because we're just, and the just will live by faith. Do I believe what's coming? Does it affect my life? The various choices that I make? That I'm confronted with every day? That you may think you can make these choices, and you know what? It's separate from this faith stuff. Because this has to do with all this. And it's necessary, right? I would agree with that. And preacher man, isn't it necessary for us to make decisions that perhaps we can make apart from our faith? You know what? The human reasoning says, yes, of course that's possible. God says, no, it's not possible. God says, if you're just, you're going to live every moment by faith. And make those decisions that affect our daily lives governed by the faith that we have that's in Christ Jesus. With an eternal perspective, knowing that the choices we make have eternal consequences. From the jobs we take, to the places we move to the houses we buy, all of that has eternal consequences and should be governed by faith. Why? Because the just shall live by faith. God says, if you're just, you live by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he went. God would never call me to a place where I wouldn't know I was going. The just live by faith. God said to Abraham, Abraham, get up and get out. Abraham got up, got out. Why? Because of his faith. His faith in God. What has God called you to do? And you have said, no, thank you. Not for me, thank you. I'll wait till the next choice comes along, God. Don't like that one. Huh? You know what happens then? We're stuck. We're stuck. Right there. Right at that point, God stops. So there's no other choice. Faith must result in obedience. Must. Because what happens? What happens when God causes us to obey and we don't? Well, then we stop walking by faith. And we start walking by what we can see. Well, I couldn't possibly go there. I couldn't possibly quit this job. I couldn't possibly do that job. I couldn't possibly move here. I couldn't possibly do that. I can't possibly do this. And you know, within your spirit and in the time that you spend in God's presence, that that's what God wants you to do. You know that. Abraham, when he was called, he obeyed. Who is characterized by disobedience? Unbelievers. Faithless people. Not the followers of the Lord Jesus. Do a word study on obedience. And time after time after time after time. It's in there, it's in there, it's in there. Faith must result in obedience. If God put a stamp of characterization on your life this morning, would he be reaching for that stamp of obedience? Or would he'd be sort of stuck? No. Can't do it. Would he be reaching for that stamp of pleasing God? Can't do that one either. Would he be reaching for that stamp of a faithful lifestyle? It's This is stuff that's between you and God. I couldn't come to you and go into your life and say, you know, you're being awful, unfaithful in this area of your life, and not have Scripture to back it up and not have direction of the Holy Spirit to do that. Because a lot of this stuff is called gray area type stuff. I'm not talking about out and out blatant sin. I'm talking about stuff that's between you and God. When God called to obey, he obeyed. He didn't start figuring out all the options that were available. The consequences, what would happen? What would happen to me? What would happen to my family? I don't even know where I'm going. Never been there before. There's no maps. Abraham, did I tell you to go? Yeah, you told me to go. You going? Oh, I'm in. I'm going. I don't know what's there. Well, you know I told you to go there, right? Yeah. Faith equals obedience. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice, and what happened to him? His brother murdered him. Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. Noah had this testimony. Noah was a man who preached righteousness. Noah was a man who was warned of God that things that had not been seen yet, moved with fear and made preparation. And everybody ignored his message. No, it's not going to be peaches and cream. You obey God, people are going to look at you funny. You start talking about living by faith, people are going to look at you a little bit, and they're going to start wondering. The fear of man brings a snare, brings a trap. What has God told you to do by faith that you're refusing because you fear other people? Now, I'm not talking about you making some wild-eyed decision with some lame brain excuses and have several godly people come to you and say, look, brother, look, sister, you know, I've been spending some time in prayer about this as well. You mean, let's spend some more time in prayer. I'm not talking about that. Talking about times that you have spent in prayer, times that you have spent in the presence of God, and you know them to be true. Areas where God is at work in your life, and you are refusing to let him to work. Areas where God is convicting you, perhaps areas where you're not pleasing him. Areas where you don't have a good testimony. Areas where you're not moving in the fear of God. Areas where you're not obeying what God says. Between you and God, the just will live by faith. Is your life characterized as a life of faith? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we must confess before you. We have many faults, many failures, many shortcomings. And yes, we do thank you that your love will continue when the walk becomes a crawl. The problem lies in those areas where we have begun to crawl when we should be walking, and we have ignored the promptings and the leadings of the Spirit of God. Areas that we have allowed to creep into our lives, into our thinking, our thoughts, our motivations, that are clearly sin. Father, we pray that we would not continue in these ways. Pray that your hand would be upon us, just as it was upon these Hebrews. That when they came back, beaten down and broken, realizing that they had failed their Lord, they were told to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who endured for the joy that was set before him, Father, help us never to lose sight of the joy that we have, we will one day have, and we see thy blessed Son face to face. Having been changed into his image, having been changed in a moment, we stand before his presence. Father, we pray that our lives will have been lived in such a way that we hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Father, keep us from playing games when we should be about the Father's business. Help us to realize the seriousness of owning up to the fact that we belong to Jesus, that we belong to the God of all the universe, that the Lord Christ is Lord of our lives. Father, if there are any areas in our lives that need cleaned out, we pray that we would open up those doors and let you do the cleaning. We pray that if there's any areas of our lives where we are holding back, Father, by your Spirit, reveal those to our hearts. Help us to confess them as sin. And help us to go on our way, living by faith. For we thank you that the just will live by faith. We commit this time into your hand. Ask that you would be with us in a special way throughout the rest of this day as we prepare for tonight's meeting, both audience and speaker alike. Father, that our thoughts will be focused upon that blessed one who loved us and gave himself for us, our Lord Jesus. Amen.